This is the Pride of Detroit podcast. It's the podcast from SB Nation.
How many weeks has it been where I've asked you to not whip that thing around? And you're doing it right now.
Chris is adding the shit out of you.
I am so mad. I am just like, I am leading.
Well, now
a
I
pack
know.
Of jackals.
Now I know. It's okay.
God damn it, Alex. Damn it, Alex.
Fucking
put the headphones down.
Is that a Poyos Hermanos shirt, by the way?
It is.
Yeah. Nice.
By the way, we're recording.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are. Well, welcome to the Pride of Detroit podcast, the POD cast for Alex. No? 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 He's just pointing it down to his shirt. So,
what?
What? Okay, as you people can tell, this is the Pride of Detroit podcast, the POD cast, the podcast. Jerry's not here, so any semblance of sanity is gone.
We're sorry that Jerry's not here.
We're sorry, but it is a Tuesday. We're getting it out early because we have Thanksgiving to get to, and a wonderful Lions game on Thanksgiving, and a two-game win streak to talk about, and a loaded amount of questions. I am Chris Lemieux, writer at Pride of Detroit, at Malkovich Plan on Twitter, Ryan Matthews at Ryan underscore POD, Alex Reno, who's whipping around his microphone, Alex underscore Reno, and Jeremy Reisman is in here as number four at Detroit on Lion.
Number one in your hearts.
Number one in your hearts.
And I just want to remind you all, make sure to give us a shout out on iTunes, give us a review, give us five stars. And
five ratings. Yes.
Five-star ratings, and we actually had another review from Samurai Sword Salesman. He said, long-suffering Lions fan, daily reader of Pride of Detroit. This podcast gives me
a nice supplement.
Yeah. And, yeah, thanks a lot, Samurai Sword Salesman. If you reveal yourself at Pride of Detroit somewhere, I'll send you a nice little Photoshop image of something or other.
You're still waiting for a Photoshop of Michael Geiger strumming a guitar.
No, I got it.
You got it finally. You got the
Yeah, Big Ten Network tweeted out a video of him strumming a guitar and then throwing it at the end. It was amazing.
Link us, please.
So, congratulations to the podcast. We are a supplement. We are a dietary supplement. We're like fiber that you got to take. This podcast is Metamucil.
Yeah, what's up with the prune juice and the Metamucil? We're always coming back to fiber and keeping your GI tract nice and healthy.
Nah, I like to think of this podcast as that Jerry Mallory. What scent did he said he used?
Lavender.
To...
Lavender.
Lavender.
Lavender. Yes.
This podcast is the lavender to all of your Lions ales.
Scent expert. Holman,
we are the home and garden of Lions podcasts.
Let us heal you with our words.
Oh, man. Where do we start? Nice. Like, I feel good. Like, I've been trying to figure out how to talk about that game, the Oakland game, and I just look back on it and keep saying, yeah, it was okay. It was fine. Everything went fine.
Entertaining football.
There's like nothing to really talk about from that game. Even though we won two in a row, like beyond saying, hey, they won two in a row, what about that game stood out in your mind to say, we need to talk about this?
Secondary?
We already talked about Darius Slay last week. That's a thing. So
he continues to look great.
He looks amazing. I mean, he held Amari Cooper to
success right there.
4 yards. 4 yards for Amari Cooper.
Yeah, was it the only catch he had was on a screenplay?
Yeah.
So, Darius Slay, big play Slay.
I'm amazed at how much this team looks like it did last year all of a sudden. They can consistently stop the run now, and their defense is winning them games, and their offense is still pretty bad. But
yeah,
they can win games scoring 18 points, and that's kind of nice.
I guess.
A surprise.
At least they're scoring something. They're still struggling to get into the red zone, which, I mean, okay. They're still putting together an amazing first drive and then kind of petering out after that, but at least they came back and did something in the fourth quarter, so there's that.
Yeah, they're petering out after, you know, Cooter gives them every opportunity to execute.
Very nice.
Of course.
Whatever. No, but on an actual note, like Stafford is still frustrating as all hell.
Yeah, I mean, he was connecting on some of those shovel passes that we all love for him, but any other scenario, I would have just said those passes look just idiotic. Like,
yeah, if we want to talk about one specific play, the third down play to Theo Riddick, where I thought he spiked the ball on the ground, and then all of a sudden Riddick's like up the field.
Yeah. Sometimes Stafford will just make those things. He's hitting on 16. Sometimes it's going to work. Sometimes it's not.
His rushing touchdown. I don't know. The offense, like Jeremy said, still looks pretty bad. Nothing to write home about that. But the defense is kind of what's, I guess, exciting to watch about this team, though everything on Sunday was just like really sloppy and not really noteworthy.
Well, I think it's important to point out they have stuck now with the same first five for the offensive line now. Like, there's no more shuffling this line around. They've like, took them 11 weeks, but they finally decided, okay, these are who we're going to play up front.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone could have told you that Michael Ola would be the starting right
Michael
tackle.
Ola!
He seems like he's doing an okay job. I know PFF had him just about even, which...
Yeah, all he has to do is be average, and we are solid.
All he has to do is not be Cornelius Lucas.
Yeah. And speaking of PFF, sorry, so, like, I wrote my PFF article, and Stafford was a plus 2.4, and they always kind of, like, change their, or they upgrade their ratings or whatever throughout the week. And he went from a plus 2.4 to a negative 0.6, which I thought was a pretty big change. So, apparently, they just changed their heart and thought that Stafford did not do well.
Well, I mean, could it also be that they're just winning right now because they played a Packers team that just looked lost and confused, and you know, and Mason Crosby's kick got like knuckleballed, and then played up a Raiders team who looks like they've lost the plot. So I think it's a combination of everything.
Yes and no. I think they played better than both those teams and deserved to win both those games.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm not buying into too much right now. I know some people are trying to get high on the offense, like they had over 100 yards rushing, but I'm not quite buying into that yet. The Raiders' defense isn't that good, and I think they still only average 3.5 a carry, which really is not good.
Yeah.
So I'm still lukewarm, especially on the offense of this team. That being said, I've gone from thinking they can only win 3 or 4 games this year to maybe 5 or 6, but I don't know what that means to anybody. My prediction... 9-7.
Your prediction.
Hashtag Lions football. Oh
my God. So even if we sorry Chris, even if we want to say that the Raiders are their defense below average, that's why we were able to put points on the board. A week ago, we caught the Packers, kind of like in some turmoil. I think the question, kind of like on everybody's mind, is like, where was this team like weeks, you know, 1 through. You know,
I kind of rejected the Joe Lombardi thing, and I think to a point, like, this offense still isn't better, but at the very least, they seem to have a grasp of what they want to do now. I think someone pointed out, like, on Slack chat, was it Chris Tomke, Reno?
Yeah.
He pointed out that, like, basically they've figured out the run game now. They've got Riddick. Here it is. It's basically they've got... I just lost it. Here we go. So Joik is the power, Abdullah is the counter, Riddick's the zone.
Yeah, like they look better on offense. They're still not scoring, and I think the biggest thing is obviously just the complete turnaround on defense.
They're getting down the field, but then they get into the red zone, and then it looks like they don't know what they're doing with a short field.
Yeah, like they're gaining the yards. They just need to put the points on the board.
Right, and I think that's where the lack of a run game really hurts them. Right?
Well, it's definitely a step in the right direction if they can figure out what their running backs are best suited to do. I mean, that's a common complaint we've had all year is that why is Joik Bell?
Yeah.
You know, why are we bouncing him outside? Like, why is he running off tackle plays? Like, why is he running stretch plays?
The outside zones.
Yeah. So I mean, like, I know you said, Chris, that you don't want to really buy into like the Lombardi idea, but if Jim Bob has figured out that you know, each running back can serve a role and they'll play that specific role, then the rushing game, I don't want to say that it's fixed, but, you know, if you put that, you know, in combination with having a cohesive offensive line, I mean, you might be onto something.
I would, but I scratch my head because, like, Jim Bob did in Green Bay, didn't play Abdullah at all, and now he's gone to using Abdullah. So I really, like, I don't know, maybe he's kind of figuring it out as things go on the fly.
Yeah, and I mean, he just needs some time, too.
Mm-hmm.
I know he was saying leading up to this week, or to Oakland's game, that he was starting to create and implement some packages for Abdullah, and I think we saw more of that. I know he was actually lined up as a receiver a couple times against Oakland, too, which seems long, long, long overdue. So yeah. That's just one promising thing. But in terms of overall offense, I think the reason why I'm still lukewarm is just that basically that entire third quarter where the offense disappeared completely. I think they went 3-and-out on like 3 of 5 consecutive drives.
I think I saw they only had like, what, 28 yards of offense that entire quarter?
Yeah. So until the offense can like put some sort of cohesive full game together, I think they're still going to be really inconsistent and frustrating and hold this team back from any sort of like real success this year.
Yeah, it's once again, it's going to be leaning on the defense, and the defense just isn't as good as it was last year. Just not.
But do we want to talk about the defense and our theories on why it's
suddenly like,
turned around?
Is Terrell Austin like back now? Like what's going on? Like I don't understand this. Like people are saying addition by subtraction, and you know it's true. Rasheen Mathis is done for the year, and they've kind of had to go to some interesting choices for the cornerbacks and the safeties. But I don't know if I really buy that as much. But I'm always a skeptical man, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on enough with the defense to really say. Like
yeah, I mean Justin Simon had his article today that it was that the young cornerbacks specifically are really impressing, and that certainly seems like it's true. And I don't know if the reason is there's, you know, the book just isn't out on guys like Quandre Diggs yet. You know, wide receivers don't have enough tape to know how to beat him or what it is.
And Issa Abdul Kudus is like finding a place on defense or something, it seems. So,
and in that case specifically, it's kind of nice to see the coaches move on from Ahedebo. Like they benched him last year, but I guess that was just like a temporary thing, and now
thank God we
like
didn't give him that contract extension or whatever, right, whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
But
Haloti Ngata is actually playing like, you know, a guy that they traded for. He's actually getting penetration now, which is good.
Yeah.
Because that basically means they can stop the run. And you know, you've got Ezekiel Ansah for the linebackers to just look dangerous, and I mean, sorry, not the linebackers.
We know what you mean.
Yeah.
But that's the really surprising thing to me is I don't think the Lions have a very good pass rush still.
No, they don't. They don't, but they still manage. And I mean, they don't really have as a team that many sacks.
Yeah.
That's the bizarre thing is that it just doesn't seem like we're really pressuring the quarterback yet. The secondary has looked a lot better. I mean, I think like Justin wrote in his article, I think it has to do a lot with Mathis not playing and just the young cornerbacks just playing hard and getting after him. And Quandre Diggs has looked great. Nevin Lawson had a okay game this week and a great game last week. And Darius Slay has just completely turned it up a notch. I think that you just have to give all the credit to that secondary.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're seeing more Tahir Whitehead, too. There's definitely that.
And Josh Bynes is having a pretty good year so far.
So we're kind of seeing some talent kind of develop and finally turn it on, but people still aren't happy. People still aren't happy, and the thing is that I think it's gone from worrying about the top of the draft to, hey, this organization could decide to keep Jim Caldwell.
Right.
Can we examine why they're thinking like that? Because I think after what all the mess that happened this week between moving off of 97.1 and ostensibly, apparently, because CBS Detroit and them were clashing heads about editorial reasons. And then apparently they've scaled back. And I don't know, is this advisory board, are they going to be picking a search firm? Like, how is this working? Have they abandoned the search firm thing now? Or is this like, I don't understand what's going on up front there. Like, I guess that's probably why people are like suddenly like, hey, if they start winning, they'll keep Caldwell.
Yeah, and people are worried they're going to keep Sheldon White at this point too, the interim GM. And I don't know. I know that the new president, Mr. Wood, said he was going to hire some sort of an advisor. I don't know if that means like a whole advisory team, whether he's going to hire a firm or just some dude. But I don't. It gives me a little bit of faith that, you know, they're going to do their due diligence, because I don't think anyone in that advisory board right now is qualified. And he admitted as much in his introductory press conference.
Yeah, we haven't really talked much about Broadwood, and there's really not much reason to, though. But I did like the fact that apparently he needs to work on his stamina. He said he was going to go home and collapse after the Oakland game. Like, if you're going to collapse after that game, buddy, you're... Welcome to Lions football, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this isn't even half of what we can do.
Right. But in terms of keeping Caldwell, I don't think that's very likely. I was actually going to do some research either tonight or the next night if how often a change in general manager results in keeping the current head coach, and I have to imagine it's extremely rare. Of course, Lions fans' response to that would be, well, isn't that the Lions thing to do? Wouldn't they be the ones to do something ridiculous and rare like that? I'm not as cynical as that, so I don't know.
I mean, it's just so hard to tell with the new ownership. It's just, it's impossible. That's kind of what makes it fun, too. It's impossible to tell what Martha's going to do. I mean, on one hand, I understand you would be firing him after 2 years. And while the Titans just did that with Ken Wisenhunt, it's really not the norm in the NFL. Like, you're supposed to give coaches at least, like, 3-4 years before you decide to shit-can them.
Yeah, but Chudzinski had 1 year with the Browns.
But that's the Browns. Like, if you want to talk about dysfunction, changing a quarterback and a coach every year, sure,
Johnny
the
Browns.
Football,
third string.
I don't want to think about them. But, yeah, no,
but
I don't.
It makes us feel better.
It does make us feel better. The Browns always make everyone feel better about themselves. Because, I mean, that's the one thing you can't say about the Lions, that they're not changing guys every year. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I don't think if they decide to keep or fire him, I just don't think it's going to matter how many games he wins, right?
Are we talking about Caldwell again?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Caldwell and Martha Ford.
I think he's proven that he's at best a mediocre head coach, and I think we can do better. I'm more intrigued by what we're going to do with Sheldon White. I think you have to just get rid of Jim Caldwell, no matter what happens. I just don't think he's got that much upside as a head coach.
Well, I mean, I just don't. That's the part that I don't get either. Is like, okay, we can say, yeah, they're not going to keep Caldwell because it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter wins, losses, but that means even less for a general manager because we said this 2 podcasts ago. There's literally nothing he can do.
No, I mean, he's just basically had he's giving like an 8-week interview right now. There's nothing he can do to ensure the job, but he can still try out for it.
Yeah, I don't think he's got his job just because Crescent Butler is playing meaningful minutes.
No, definitely not.
Like,
so let's say hypothetically Caldwell is gone. Do you think that means the entire coaching staff is gone?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard to retain some of them. I'm sure, like, they'll want to interview for other jobs. It's going to be up to whoever decides to come in after it. Right. I don't know. I'm not sure how it's...
I mean, the new head coach is going to hire whoever he feels most comfortable with anyway, but then again, he can still ask around and see what the current staff has done, and maybe he does like Terrell Austin or something. Maybe he wants to keep him. Who knows?
Yeah. That's where I was going with that, because people are back on the Terrell Austin bandwagon and want to see maybe even him as a head coaching candidate. But I feel like if Caldwell's gone, it's going to be really hard to keep Austin around.
Yeah, I mean,
who's to say that Austin doesn't get a chance to be a head coach somewhere else?
I think he definitely has a chance.
I mean, there's going to be openings. There will definitely be openings.
I mean, he was one of the hottest candidates after last year.
Yeah. Number one, I would want to hear who his offensive coordinator would be. I would want to hear who his staff would be I would listen to him, but I don't like how all these people are saying sure thing he should be our head coach right now.
No, I don't see it. But I mean, at the same time too, I'm also looking around and I'm just trying to think, you know, I'm thinking two steps down the road because we still need to figure out a GM, but who would the new coach be? Like
Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson.
Can I throw a new name into the mix? Can I throw a new name in there that I just saw this?
Don't say it.
Yes,
Chris.
I am going to do it.
Don't say it.
Look, if they want to let him go and he wants to be available to come up to the pros, should do it.
Don't say Lane.
He's a Michigan man.
Oh, here we go.
He was under Bo Schembechler. He's going to come on home. Les Miles.
Podcast over.
Dude, how many pros has Les Miles put into the NFL?
I don't
How
care.
Many quarterbacks has he ever coached
That's
that were
true.
Like anything?
Yeah.
I mean, we need a quarterback first and foremost.
Yeah, like, hey, let's go hire a quarterback guru like Jim Caldwell.
Like Ken Wisenhunt.
Sure, because I love picking through the Titans leftovers.
Can't we just make Cooter the head coach?
I love
what a meteoric rise that would that be. Like, and first off, then, like, we wouldn't be able to get through any press conference the same. Like, all these times we have to start quoting the head coach. Could you imagine trying to do that when the headline is Cooter?
Yeah, I mean, maybe just this offseason, Martha warms up to Cooter. I don't know.
At 90 years old? I think it's too late.
What kind of twisted shit are you on, Ryan Matthews?
@medieval_react. I don't know. I feel like the head coaching stuff on a serious note is so far away. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just hard to say.
I just want to keep on enjoying winning.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's just enjoy entertaining football again. Let's watch the Lions win and have fun with it.
It's kind of fun to watch games where you're not going to be completely crushed or destroyed if they lose, but if they win, it's like, oh, hey, cool.
Yeah, that's nice.
Gravy.
Good job, buddy.
That's all gravy.
And, I mean, they do have a chance this week, depending
on
who's...
They're going to win. They
yeah,
are
depending,
going
to
win. Chance. Let's talk
Actually,
about Philadelphia.
Yeah, I don't even care who's playing quarterback anymore. They're talking about maybe Sam Bradford comes back this week. I'd like
it
my chances
matter.
Against... I would like our chances matter. Against a banged-up Sam Bradford, though.
I would too.
Either or. Who's their third string?
I don't
Probably
think
Probably Tim Tebow again.
Actually, who is their third string? Because it's Bradford, Sanchez, and who else is on that Eagles roster?
I mean, it really doesn't matter. I mean, I totally agree with you guys. It doesn't matter who shows up, but...
Yeah. Well, it's not Matt Barkley, is it?
Oh, my God, it might be
Thaddeus
Barkley.
Lewis.
Thaddeus
really?
Lewis?
It is so. Thaddeus Lewis. Holy
wow.
shit.
Well, Lions fans will be all too familiar with that guy.
Never should have cut him.
Never should have cut him. Kellen Moore.
I'd like to beat Mark Sanchez one more time. That'd be fun.
So we could have a winning record against Mark Sanchez?
So we can finally put this, like, it's not even really a debate anymore, but,
no, it's not.
You know, Sanchez and Stafford coming out in the same draft class. I'm still a little bitter of all the love that Sanchez got in his first 2 years being on, like, a really good Jets team.
That USC, that's a USC quarterback right there. That's a USC quarterback. They just got to coast through there and then wound up on those Jets teams. Just unbelievable. But what's going on with Philadelphia, though? Like, it just... Like, you pointed out today, Jeremy, just what a mess they are. And people are, like, turning against Chip Kelly. I actually saw, thank you, Detroit Media, by the way, was it Detroit Media that put out that question to Chip Kelly about, like, have you gotten any calls from colleges or something? And he's like, I've got a job right now.
What?
Oh, I would love to be a media member in Philadelphia. Chip Kelly is a funny guy, and he's just a complete troll to that media.
Yeah.
I think I read, I think it was on Sunday, after their loss to the Buccaneers, like the first question that he fielded from a reporter was, So, based on your performance today, do you think that the guys still buy into what you're trying to do here? It's like, oh, okay. Let's not pull any punches.
Five touchdowns in a game to Jameis Winston.
Yeah, to a rapist, so.
Alleged.
Wow.
Rapist.
Wow.
Dude, you can't stand Jameis Winston.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Okay, I found that question.
At least go crab stealing or something. Come on. You got to go straight
crab,
there.
He was also putting soda in like ketchup cups and stealing it that way.
What?
Yeah, that was his first entry thing before all this other stuff. He had gotten stopped at Burger King.
That's the gateway to becoming a rapist.
Yeah, and then jumping up on a table and yelling fucker right in the pussy.
Okay, this is the thing. Lead rapist, crab stealer, trying to find a way to get Coca-Cola out of a Burger King. Are you kidding me? What a goon.
Jameis Winston is a nice guy.
Like buddy buddy with him, Reno.
I just wanted to add something else to this podcast since we're calling him a rapist and everything.
What's going on with this? Like, oh my god. Let's see. We're not talking about Tampa Bay though. We're talking about the Eagles.
We are talking.
Yeah,
about
they're
Eagles.
Bad. Let's talk, the about,
like,
pretty bad.
Talk about. Let's talk about how Ryan Matthews isn't probably going to play. So I'm not going to show up.
You're not going to show up. You'll show up in the stands there on Thanksgiving, probably.
Right, probably. We'll
if
see.
If StubHub comes through.
If StubHub comes through, and as long as I can get some Sweetwater wings.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the Eagles are pretty banged up. I think the Lions are going to be relatively healthy. I like our chances on Thursday.
Thursday games also always seem to favor running backs, from what I understand. So, Jeremy, any chance we could probably see this maligned run game? We could see Amir Abdullah get his first touchdown since week one?
I don't know, man. I was surprised because I was looking at Football Outsiders this week, and the Eagles actually have one of the best defenses in the league. I think they're top
they
five.
They do. I have them in fantasy. So, like, they generally score pretty well in fantasy in that regard. They find a way to force turnovers, which for a quarterback like Matthew Stafford, that's kind of bad news.
Yeah. I see this being another kind of ugly, low-scoring game, and both teams' strengths are their defenses, and both teams' weaknesses are their offenses, so it could get real ugly real quick.
Yeah. But what we saw last week, Doug Martin. I mean, if he wouldn't have sat out for the entire fourth quarter, he ran all over Philadelphia's defense. So, I mean, if they can get Abdullah going early, they can get him going often. We might have some fun on Thursday.
Have some fun. I don't know. Will we see Ezekiel Ansah sitting in the end zone calling for safety again?
Probably
that was my
not.
Favorite. You know what? That was my favorite part of Sunday. I completely forgot about that right up until now. Just the shenanigans Oakland was pulling in their own end zone because. Yeah, that's a safe. That's a brilliant place to decide to start holding guys, right?
Yep.
I'm trying to make this podcast. You guys just aren't playing.
Anyway, back to that matchup. Thursday games are always pretty sloppy, and then you have, according to Football Outsiders, the number 28 offense in Detroit and the number 26 offense in Philly. And you have an improved defense from Detroit going up against that bad offense. And you have one of the best defenses in the NFL in Philly going up against our offensive line. So it's going to be very low scoring, very ugly, very hard to watch. But I think we're probably going to pull out and win it anyway because Sanchez is awful.
You think it's going to be low scoring?
I do, yes.
Yeah, this is gonna be a really
unless we have like some defensive touchdowns or something. I think it's gonna be really ugly.
I don't think it'll be low scoring. I think the Lions are gonna put up a lot of points.
I think we can at least expect a really good if Lions get the ball first, they will put up a really good opening drive because they always do.
I'm gonna say 13-10 Lions right now.
I might not buy StubHub tickets if I'm going to buy into Reno's prediction. I'd rather just stay at home and eat.
What's the over-under on the quarter in which the announcers start talking about potentially taking the Lions off Thanksgiving? Because that narrative never gets old.
Probably yeah, before that's, the game.
I love when that comes up. And it's just kind of like, hey, yeah, let's just murder tradition because we don't like this team.
It's like, let's go ahead and hold that double standard because, you know, the Cowboys are such a great team this year too, right?
Yeah, yeah. By the way, so for some godforsaken reason, Dallas like opened as like a favorite. Dallas was like for a while a favorite.
Tony Romo's back. Tony Romo.
I don't care. This Carolina team's really good.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to be Carolina. Yeah, we're going to have to listen to Troy Aikman talk about the Lions or something when...
No, Troy, probably they're going to send Troy Aikman down either to... I don't know, would they send Joe...
Do we know who's
calling
the Lions?
There's no... There's zero chance that Troy Aikman is not the announcer for that Dallas game.
There's three games on Thanksgiving now, right? Because Green Bay and Chicago has decided to butt in on this shit, too.
Well,
yeah, I got some bad news for you guys. The Lions are the Fox game, which means they get Buck and Aikman again.
Is it Buck and Aikman though? Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be at the game, so I won't be able to hear their disastrous voices.
Yeah, because I believe, for whatever reason, the Dallas Panthers game is going to be on CBS.
I didn't think Troy and Buck and Joe did.
I might be wrong there.
I didn't think Troy and Joe did games on Thanksgiving. That's all. I thought they took it off.
Well, I think the 3 or 4 o'clock game is always on CBS, if I remember it correctly.
It is on CBS. I don't know why they have an NFC game, but I thought it was always AFC.
Thanksgiving every year they have like Fox at noon and then the CBS at 4. But
yeah,
I don't know.
I think that's the way it's worked for Thanksgiving at least, but
yeah,
whatever.
By the way, Philadelphia is a 1-point favorite. That's it.
Hey, we're gonna win. We own the Eagles.
The Raiders were also a 1-point favorite. FYI.
Yeah, all these lines are just really low. People just don't know what to do with the Lions, I guess. That's okay.
Yeah. Let's play with a chip on our shoulder.
A Chip Kelly?
Okay, I think it's time for some reader questions.
Yeah, it is. You guys are giving me these cold looks every now and then. It's just I feel intimidated.
I wish we had stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we don't. Like
it's a Tuesday. It's early in the week. I don't know.
It's a 2-game winning streak, guys. What's going on?
We can talk about
it. It just feels like the most normal 2-game winning streak. Like I keep looking back at the game, like okay, like we've literally covered everything I wanted to talk about from that game.
Everything that happens every week is always on a Wednesday or Thursday anyway, like the Rod Wood stuff, all the Martha Ford crap, always on a Wednesday and a Thursday.
If there's one like league-wide thing that we could talk about, can we just talk about how as bad as the referees are right now, can we just remember when we didn't have our usual referees and... Referees went on strike.
I kind of hate to talk about referees in the first place. But
yeah,
you guys.
I mean, like the Sammy Watkins play last night. Like,
I'm
sitting on the couch and he rolls backwards out of bounds, untouched, and the ref comes in like he's Geiger from Michigan State, saying to run the clock. And I turn to like nobody in the living room because I'm the only one who's watching football on a Monday night because I'm weird like that, I guess. But I'm just like, what? Dude, there's more football to play. One more play, right? The Danny Amendola, like the inadvertent whistle.
That to me was the weirdest thing ever. They just blew a whistle in the middle of the play.
I saw Rex Ryan point to the ground. Did like the ref think that Tom Brady stepped out? He was like a good like 5-6 feet away from being out of bounds.
I saw that whistle, and the first thing that came to my mind, I was watching some college game the other year, and someone actually had brought like their own whistle to the game and blew it when someone was trying to like punt the ball.
Some people just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah, someone was trying to like ruin plays with their own whistle, and I thought that's what it was. I mean, if we want to go around the league, there's some good stuff around the league. There was that Case Keenum stuff that went down that just sounds atrocious and just negligent.
I was watching the end of that game, actually, just because it was on the red zone, and they were showing that final drive, and I see him get shit-whipped to the ground. And
yeah, I was at a bar. I'm like, you got to go out of the game.
Yeah.
So what happened for those of us that don't know what happened here?
So after he got whipped to the ground, he got up all wobbly, clearly had a concussion, and they just kept him in the game.
The play clearly shows that, like,
sounds like a Shane Morris situation.
Yeah.
It absolutely was, except this is on a professional level.
Jeez. Yeah. I mean, he had to get help to his feet by, like, a lineman, and then was it the very next play or even the play? It was the play after that when he ended up fumbling the ball. And, I mean, that was it for the Rams, but.
Speaking of the Rams, isn't Jeff Fisher reportedly going to get a contract extension or something?
Good God.
Which, I mean, what have they done? What has he done?
Go ahead.
No.
I was just going to say, he wants to be a board for when they move to LA. That's it.
They don't have a quarterback.
They don't.
Get a quarterback.
All right,
they traded for Nick Foles.
Oh yeah,
That didn't really feel like an upgrade. That just felt like it's like we have this spare part that our fans are tired of, so let's have your spare part that your fans are tired of, and we can make it look like we're like doing something to advance both of our franchises when we're not.
And speaking of Nick Foles, how did Nick Foles throw for 21 touchdowns and 2 interceptions that year? That must be biggest.
Dude, like he had, but that's,
he was so bad the next year. Like that's the biggest amount.
But that's
of luck.
Here's the thing. From what I understand, it was luck because apparently, like he had, like people were like breaking down his games and saying like there are a bunch of balls that should have been interceptions that just bounced off guys' hands. Instead.
Yeah, that's the craziest amount of luck I've ever seen in the NFL.
I think that's what we call in the baseball world. FIP? I don't know. Whatever.
BABIP.
BABIP.
Yeah, you lost me.
It? Yeah, BABIP. Okay, BABIP. Yeah, BABIP. See, I still know baseball. So
yeah, shout out Hook Slide. Shout out, bless you boys.
Sabermetrics in the house.
Sabermetrics in the house. Well, yeah. So how about if the Rams want a quarterback that they can market to their fan base, move to LA? The Lions have one who's a gunslinger. I'm just saying.
No, but they don't have Kellen Moore anymore.
LA though.
A little Stafford for Aaron Donald.
Kellen Moore, you said?
Oh my God.
Kellen Moore. We'll just throw in some draft picks.
I mean, if we want to start doing this podcast talking about the rest of the NFL, we can. I just needed to do like a rundown next time. And actually,
I'm good on questions. I just wanted to talk about how.
The only other thing I wanted to talk about was like.
About Sammy Watkins?
No, I wanted to talk about Cam Newton, but we don't need to.
Oh, Cam Newton's my favorite thing in the NFL right now.
So great.
I think at some point I'm going to write an article about how Carolina needs to be Lions fans' second team right now.
It is absolutely a cat team brotherhood. It is.
Yeah, that Josh Norman guy is pretty awesome too. I don't know if you guys have seen him on
he's all right.
TV or anything. He's pretty cool guy.
He's okay. He plays football real well.
He doesn't care about getting flagged after celebrating in the end zone, which is pretty fun.
Ride the pony.
Cam Newton also just, like, hands out balls to kids. Like, that's become a thing now. They're going to run out of footballs in Carolina.
Did you see those kids, like, fighting over the ball that he gave out last week?
It's like, this is like a home run ball now or something. People are just, I don't know.
He's just going to create the Hunger Games in the stands.
By the way,
the end of the year.
Shout out to the Carolina Panthers social media guy. You are awesome. You trolled the hell out of Washington this week. It was fantastic. I don't know why he would be listening to this podcast. Maybe he's a Lions fan. I don't know.
Yeah, read that tweet for us.
Oh, which one? Oh, I'd have to like dive through. But it was like he starts with you like, oh, here it is. You like that Panther Nation. So referencing Kirk Cousins. Carolina improves to 10-0 with a trademark victory over Washington.
Oh, the burn.
And the trademark thing came too earlier because the Washington account was like, yeah, no, we own North Carolina. It's like, well, you can't trademark that.
That's good.
Yeah, they walked right into that one. So.
Yeah.
I just love to like all these takes on Cam against Cam are just veering into like idiocy. Do you see the one that PFT commenter retweeted? The one that's like no.
criticized. Was it something about him deciding to wear number one?
Yes, yes.
Was an indictment saying that he was putting a target on his chest or something?
No, no, that it was an egotistical statement.
Oh, okay.
The great quarterbacks yeah. don't need to see that the great quarterbacks out there don't need to make.
Quarterbacks were 12. Yeah, they were like 12 and 13.
Or 18, yes. Who oh, instead dear. Let their performances do the talking.
Oh, 12 and 8. Wait, 12 and 18? Aren't those two white quarterbacks?
Probably. Like a quarterback in the NFL.
I don't like what this
quarterback in the NFL that isn't maligned is probably white.
I'm trying to stir all this shit today.
I don't like what this race. Is turning into.
Race. So question.
Yeah, we should. Okay, so our decision to move to go around the NFL was a miraculous failure right there. So let's talk some questions, shall we? Let's
do it.
We can do that.
Yeah, let me find the questions thread. That's all, because apparently I was clicking around and now I am completely not prepared. I think one of these was about Thanksgiving dishes, though.
Perfect.
Which oh, yeah, is, what's your so least favorite side dish, I think it
yeah,
was?
Yeah. Can we all just someone talk instead of everyone?
What's the question?
Least favorite Thanksgiving side dish.
Green bean casserole.
We can't hear you when you put your face, your hand to your face. Do you not know how a microphone works?
Where is it at? Oh, I found it.
Reno's been drinking, ladies and gentlemen.
I said green bean casserole, my least favorite.
Oh, my. Reno has the worst taste in food.
That's least
favorite. Are you kidding me?
Green bean
casserole. Okay, what's your answer?
Green bean casserole is your least favorite?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. That's rookie stuff.
Easily. Let's hear your answer.
I feel like I'm going to say something a little even more controversial. And
don't
that's,
you dare say pumpkin pie.
No, come on, no.
Don't you dare say stuffing.
It's stuffing.
Oh, God. Oh, get out of here.
Look, I will defend him because, like, maybe you just haven't had good stuffing. Like, thank you. That just makes a sound on the podcast, Jeremy.
I'm sorry.
Trying to mic drop. This isn't a visual medium. Stuffing has to be done right. If you haven't had good stuffing, then I will absolutely understand that. You've probably just had shit stuffing.
My family is not full of cooks.
So don't hate on the stuffing then.
Well, I don't know. I think that's the case. I've just not
he
just, had.
He hasn't had a good stuffing to reference. That's the thing. So I can't blame.
Blame the stuffing when you got
Alex. What's your least favorite?
Not the game.
Alex already said green bean casserole.
Yeah.
My least favorite Thanksgiving side dish has to be yams.
Get the fuck out of my podcast right now.
Whoa, explicit.
All right. I knew that was going to rile up the Southern gentleman.
So look, sweet potatoes with pralines and marshmallows is the best shit.
Well, that's the thing. You have to dress that shit up in a lot of sugary stuff to make it edible.
I like it anyway, but I'm just saying, adding them in there just makes me all the better.
My dad likes yams.
Yeah, I just chewed.
And he watched it. And he watched his first take.
Why are you calling them yams? Sweet
you do the math.
Screaming A. Smith. First take.
What about favorite side dish though?
Well, I need to get an answer from Chris because he's just hating on everyone's pick right now.
Well, no, I'm not hating on everyone's pick. He defended
stuffing.
Yeah, I did.
He defended stuffing by telling me my parents are terrible cooks.
Hey, that was your admission to this.
Too many cooks?
Well, apparently because Jim Caldwell, our illustrious head coach Jim Caldwell, said that chitlins are a Thanksgiving dish, I'm going to go and say my least favorite are chitlins because chitlins are disgusting.
I don't even know what we're talking about right now.
Chitlins are basically like pork stomach pieces.
Okay, can you pick something that's at traditional Thanksgiving dinner tables, Chris?
At traditional things, someone recommended canned cranberry sauce, and I'm inclined to agree with that. Fresh cranberry sauce, okay, but not canned, not jellied cranberry.
Ryan doesn't like that. He's face-palming right now.
You're liable to find me with just a can of cranberry sauce any time of the year. I'm just eating it out of the can.
Actually, you know what? I don't like corn.
I don't like corn.
That's fair.
Yeah, I don't like corn. I don't eat corn, so I'm gonna go with corn.
Okay, that's fair. But why not corn?
I just don't like corn. I just don't like how it tastes. I don't like how it gets stuck in the teeth, and just nutritionally, it's pretty much shit. So It's a plant that should not exist without the help of humans, and
That's fair. I like that. The reason I like corn, but I'd rather just keep it off my plate is because I feel like you never get all the water drained out of it. So you put it on your plate and it ends up getting like other stuff on your plate soggy.
It's that soppy water, salt, butter mixture that just gets everywhere.
Like, fair enough.
But that's the thing too, is like when I'm going I'm going for starches, I'm usually loading up on like mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes anyway. So I'm good. Absolutely. And I have a roll
mashed potatoes, gravy, and stuffing, baby.
I don't need corn. Yeah.
Yeah, and mashed potatoes can't be out of a box. They can't be those flakes.
No, it's got to be good, like...
Yeah, like actual potatoes.
Preferably with the skins in there.
Mm. I don't like my mashed potatoes with any clumps.
Oh, I love the skins. Smooth. Like, red skins in there is great.
So what about everybody's just, like, favorite thing about a Thanksgiving meal? It doesn't have to be the dinner. It could be dessert too.
I mean, I'm torn between a few places because those sweet potatoes are my favorite out there. But I will also say like fresh cranberry sauce good too. But I mean, if you have a real pumpkin pie, like that's hands down, like shut everything down. I'm eating this.
That's fair enough. What about you, Reno?
I don't even go for the dessert. Like, I don't even like pie at all. I'm sorry. I hope you guys won't hate me for that. Anyway,
are we just we're leaving out?
I just go for the traditional turkey, stuffing, and mashed potatoes, man.
Well, hold up. When you say traditional turkey, can we talk about this? Have you guys ever done like turducken or deep fried turkey at all, or no?
No, I just go white meat turkey.
We're off that John Madden shit.
I did fried turkey last year, and I don't know if I can go back.
Really? Okay.
Wow. Yeah. What's the secret?
The secret is not burning your house down frying the turkey.
That'd be a good start.
Really, that is the secret. The secret is not burning everything trying to fry a turkey. Like, you will see Deadspin or Gawker or someone or BuzzFeed or whoever will have an article up later in like 2 days time where they'll just show videos of people like burning their house down trying to deep fry a turkey.
It's not worth it. Don't risk it all.
You got to have an expert.
Jeremy, what about you?
I'm definitely in the pumpkin pie category, but to give a secondary answer, if you got the kind of person that can make a real nice mac and cheese casserole with like cornflakes to add some crisp to it.
Ooh.
I don't think I've ever had mac and cheese with Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So am I weird for not liking mac and cheese at all?
Yes. Yo, we need to get Reno off his podcast.
Means you just never had a childhood.
What is he doing here?
I knew that was a bad thing to say.
Okay, let's move on to another question. We've spent like 20 minutes just talking about Thanksgiving food.
Can I ask one quick question? It can be yes or no. It's directed towards Chris and Jeremy. Pumpkin pie. Do you guys dress it up at all? Like whipped cream, ice cream, a la mode? What's up?
Whipped cream.
It doesn't matter, man. I usually go whipped cream, but... Anything.
Cool whip?
I was about to say, not just Cool Whip. Cool Whip. I am gross and disgusting, and I want Cool Whip.
Whip?
Out of a can, either. I want the stuff in the tub.
The tub. Plastic tubs?
Yes, I want that.
In the plastic tub, it starts out as Cool Whip, and then it could literally be anything, like, a week later. Yeah. Like, it might not be Cool Whip. It might be, like, leftover mac and cheese. It might be leftover chitlins.
I tend to use Cool Whip containers to, like, store old oil.
Okay, we can stop talking about food, especially because we can't talk about food while reading.
It's making me look bad right now, so let's go back to football.
Okay, let's get back to your big haircut ask. Honest question time. Is it harder to be a fan of the Lions or the Browns?
Browns. I would say Browns.
I feel like I wouldn't know, though, because I've never been a fan of the Browns.
Well, I mean, I live in a market where all I get is Lions and Browns, and I kind of... Like, each time I go on Toledo Radio, they're like, we're Browns fans, and they seem to know our pain, but at the same time, I feel like for the Browns, it's a different level.
I think I would just hate talking about a new quarterback every single year and having them fail every single year as well.
They all buy into the new quarterback.
That's if you bought into Johnny Manziel, then you're just a sucker for the Browns franchise because there was no way he was going to succeed there.
Do you think it's just frustrating being a part of, like, the sports culture? Like, if you're a Cleveland sports fan, like, you haven't experienced the championship. And
yeah, that's no, city. They have, but they, I mean, they're all Ohio State fans. So, I mean, you've got to factor that into it.
I mean, no, literally a college fan like every, in the first place, though.
But that's the thing. Every Cleveland fan is always an Ohio State fan as well, I've noticed. Like, if you are an Ohio sports fan, you're a fan of Ohio. And, like, yeah, you will find, like, this is why I will always argue is, like, I don't feel like Cleveland deserves a championship just because they've suffered in the city, because they will all gather around Ohio State.
No, I find it hilarious. I'm sorry. I like when they fail.
Yeah, no, I was, you know, and what was it? They were called, like, they got really mouthy with the Cavs too. Like, they were like harassing people who wouldn't worship at the altar of their Cavaliers. So, cool.
The only thing that I think would be harder as a Browns fan is losing the team for a couple of years. That if we lost the Lions, I'd be pretty bummed.
Yeah, but still, I can't really feel too bad for it because they immediately got it back.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, that's the only really advantage, quotation marks, of being a worse franchise to me.
You look at the different ownerships. The Lions ownership has just been stable for a long time, whereas for the Browns, it's just kill everyone in a year and start over. Do it again and again and again.
Yeah, but our ownership has been stable, but it's been bad.
Stagnant. Well, it's stagnant versus unstable is what this basically comes down to.
At least the Browns have, like, made some good moves, though. I mean, they turned Trent Richardson into a first round pick.
Cool. And what
did we turned Roy Williams into a first round pick?
Yeah, again, a first round pick doesn't mean anything when it's being.
Yeah, you still have to pick the player afterwards. What did we get for Roy Williams? We got a first round of
Brandon Pettigrew.
Got Brandon Pettigrew.
Well, yeah, I'm just talking about the picks, though. We got, like, a first, a fourth, and a seventh or something for Roy Williams. But, yeah, we did screw up pretty bad.
Well, at least like, Roy Williams was, like, a competent receiver and actually pretty good. Trent Richardson might be one of the worst running backs of all time.
But Trent Richardson was, I mean, I'm not, I hate to defend this because I never liked Trent Richardson, but to his credit, he was still young. Roy Williams was pretty old, and he was just average, I guess. I don't know. Mayhew flipping Roy Williams for that first round, fourth round, whatever it was pretty amazing at the time.
Okay, Jack H. asks a question here, and all he asks is, did you see Eddie Lacy's fat roll in slow motion versus the Vikings?
Yeah, there's a picture of Eddie Lacy out there where he literally looks like a defensive tackle. He is so he's so large to play running back.
He's got, like, this Sean Rogers belly sticking out of the bottom of his jersey.
He's bad too.
So embarrassing. Like, get your shit together, man. Like,
so are the Packers allowed to wear, like, this was another thing I noticed from that Vikings Packers game. Are they just suddenly allowed to wear hoodies under their jersey?
James Jones looked really cool wearing a hoodie.
I mean, I understand it too, because it's Minnesota near the end of November in an outdoor stadium.
It's cold, man.
Yeah.
James Jones looked great getting zero targets, zero receptions, or whatever it was against Slay, too.
I don't know what's going on with Eddie Lacy. Is he just, like, pulling? Is he just letting himself go?
He had 100 yards, man. He did all right.
Yeah, did he have 100 yards? Did he break the century mark?
He 22 rushes, 100 yards on the dot.
That was the first time he's done it all year.
Yep.
Now, that's actually pretty good. That's about, like, what, a little over 5 yards a carry?
Eddie Lacy gives zero shits about what you guys think, apparently, so...
That's good.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I've got another Jack H. question. We might as well get to this because this is something we didn't talk about from the game. He asks, is a fifth-round pick too much to ask for in a trade for Ebron?
Too much? Let's just...
Well, I mean, I'm starting to feel like... I'm starting to understand where some of this frustration is coming on Ebron. I've been defending him.
I get
him,
it, but... yeah. I mean, he's dropping balls and...
But... I understand, like, that's the narrative right now, but 3 weeks ago it was like, oh, he's actually starting to come on. Like,
And he has one bad game, and then it's all just back.
He has one bad game, and they're like, he couldn't catch the clap in a whorehouse.
I mean, I'm obviously disappointed in him. Everyone is, and he's probably never going to live up to the number 10 pick, but I still think he's going to be a contributor. Probably not first round worthy contributor, but than we probably got out of Brandon Pettigrew when he was the main guy.
I guess there's no reason. I mean, there's no pressing need to like find a way to get Ebron off of your team. It's not like he's like hurting your team.
Yeah, talking about a trade this early is just ridiculous to me. I don't know. I think he still has plenty of upside. He just needs to work on his hands.
Just to clarify so people don't think I'm stupid, yes, I understand we could never trade Matthew Stafford for Aaron Donald.
Before you thank blow you. Up the I wasn't section. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if you were being facetious or not. Thank you for I'm clarifying, being facetious, Ryan.
An idiot. Do you think we could get a 5th-round pick for Matthew Stafford?
No. But going back to the original question,
we don't need to go back.
We don't really, but I feel like giving it an honest answer.
Didn't you already?
We could probably get a second or third for him right now if you really wanted to get rid of him.
Which you shouldn't, but
no.
Next question.
Yeah, I'm looking through Twitter to find a few, and people are just fighting. And once again, we have the requisite question of why. From Scott Barlow, and we have people fighting in the comments about Jim Caldwell potentially keeping his job.
Yep.
So I'm not turning to Twitter there. Facebook, no.
don't even go into the depths of Facebook.
I need to find something else. I hate to do another Jack H question, but you know, like we've got three guys.
Do you have something against Jack H or something?
No, we just have like the same three guys throwing all these questions at us.
Well, when you ask good questions, we shall answer.
Yeah, I mean, there's some early questions here I could probably answer, but they're just questions that... I know, Jeremy, are you interested in one of these early questions here about why are the Lions playing better or a 7-9 record means they keep Sheldon White?
I feel like we kind of covered both those things.
Yeah, we have.
The secondary is obviously playing a lot better, and I don't think Sheldon White keeps his job at 7-9.
Actually, we haven't done a Harrington HOF question. We should probably take this one.
All right.
Was 2011 just a fluke year for Stafford, or is that a reachable ceiling for the near future?
They need an offense that'll play to his strengths. I mean, I hate to go back to the Scott Linehan love, but that offense racked up a ton of yards every year that he was here.
Yeah, and I was resistant to the Joe Lombardi thing, but I guess if they're playing a little better right now, that kind of proves the point that there is something to the scheme that can probably help out if they're moving forward away from Caldwell.
Yeah, I think Scott Linehan did a great job of knowing how to use Stafford. The problem there was just he didn't know how to develop him. So I think, I don't know. Scott Linehan, please come back.
I don't think Harrington, Jesus, Stafford will ever will ever reach those numbers again. But I think he's got a chance to get back into the 4,000 yards and maybe go like 30,
it just sucks
15.
That we keep.
Well, I mean, at the same time, too, if he's getting back there, it means that the run game still isn't fixed in Detroit and they're still throwing all over the place.
Right.
Because he got that mark in part because Detroit had no run game to speak of that year.
Haven't had it for 2 decades now.
Is there like a Barry Sanders curse or something? Like, is this because this just feels unreasonable that it's taken this long to find an acceptable running game in Detroit?
There might be.
One last question, and then we'll try to close it out. And I'm not going to do there. Jack H. I really wanted to get to this one that you had here about Corey Fuller, but we'll just have to squirrel that, unless you guys want to answer that.
Meh.
Okay. Run Low Fast asks, can the Lions finally run the ball? Speaking of all what we were just saying there, can the Lions finally run the ball? And he cites Joik Bell running up
the
gut.
Can the Lions or the Lions?
The Lions!
Reno, how are you going to put Chris on blast? He's the one who's asking all the questions.
Hey, I've been put on blast all night long. So
yeah,
because you're
green.
Around with your microphone.
Messing with your microphone. You don't like green bean casserole. You don't like mac and cheese.
Jesus Christ, what have I gotten myself?
You're drinking.
Yeah, you're clearly a high-functioning alcoholic.
You're calling me out for drinking. This is the podcast.
No, I'm not calling you out for drinking. I'm just using it as an explanation.
I thought this was a safe place.
Wait a
minute. I thought this was a safe place to drink.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so the question was, is the running game fixed? Didn't we
kind of
already talk about
this a little bit? Yeah, because he cites, I mean, the game was sealed because Joique Bell somehow went up the gut for 2 first downs. And he's asking, I mean, Michael Ola, parts of this question, he thinks, does Michael Ola really make the difference here? Like, he's just trying to figure out why the run game is now, well, not complete crap.
I don't think Ola is making the difference. I think it's just Jim Bob Cooter knowing how to utilize the running game now. Like, you know that it makes no sense to run Joique Bell on an outside zone play, which I've said 5 million times, and I'm still frustrated about that. But, yeah, running Joique up the middle on power runs, on counters, on man blocking runs is the only way to go, and it's working now. And like we already mentioned, Chris Tomke said we're using Abdullah on the outside runs to his strengths on the zone runs. So I think it's just a matter of Jim Bob Cooter knowing how to utilize this run game more so than, I mean, the offensive linemen have improved too, but I think it's just a cohesive thing. Everybody's doing the right thing now.
Well, I think there is something to the fact that, again, looking at the snap counts, the same 5 guys played every down in the Oakland game. There is something to that. When you have an offensive line that's not constantly having to replace a part, like, they know how to play together. I don't know where Michael Ola somehow fit into this, but, I mean, if he's comfortable with the guys, then
all you have to do is be average at that right tackle position, and then we're fine.
Just don't put Cornelius Lucas in, yeah.
Or Waddle.
Yeah, I don't know. I mentioned this earlier. I'm just not really convinced that the running game is any different right now. I know they put up 109 yards, but they had like over 30 carries. To me, this is really a small sample size, and it's not even that impressive of a sample size. And it's against a mediocre Raiders defense. And, I mean, you can say they're finally calling plays that fit the team better, but I don't even buy that. They had a couple stretch plays with Bell in that game, and they had that kind of awkward end-around-ish thing with Golden Tate that didn't work on third down.
Oakland's defense, by the way, is like 27th in F+, 24th in rush.
Yeah. So give it a couple more weeks. If they look better, maybe I'll start buying in, but
This next game right here is a pretty big test because Philly's run defense is what number? Okay, they're number 16. Never mind. But I mean,
that's
still
better than what they've been doing.
Yeah.
So how are we going to close this out? Do we want to do something Thanksgiving themed here?
As long as it's not food.
Are we thankful for anything right now, guys?
Thankful for the podcast.
Thankful for the podcast. Thankful to meet some of you guys up here in Detroit. I don't know if we'll find anyone else who's at these like tailgates, but you can rest assured that there will be fun things to be had and talked about on the next podcast.
Not Jeremy.
He's out in LA soaking up the rays while we all shiver up here. Cold.
But you guys should start some sort of meetup for Pride of Detroit meetup. You're all likely going to be at the game, and Jerry Mallory's going to be at the game.
Yeah, no, and Jerry will be there too. It'll be glorious. This has been a fun little family we've put together.
You guys should wear like matching shirts so that you can easily identify each other.
You know, for all the times people think I hate on Matthew, you're going to like this, Jeremy. After writing that article I did, you know, the one jersey I have and I might wear up to the game is a Matthew Stafford jersey.
Yeah, I have 2 Matthew Stafford jerseys. I won one for free at training camp. So I will be wearing one and my wife will be wearing the other one.
We could all have Matthew Stafford jerseys. Ryan, do you have a Matthew Stafford jersey?
I don't. I think I can go get my Boss Bailey jersey out of the basement, though.
We have a winner.
I'm going to find someone to trade my Stafford jersey for a Tate jersey just because, like, Tate just...
You and your domer-ness.
Because Tate's Matthew just a Stafford. Boss. Just because
I really want Jeremy to make the trip with his Joey Harrington jersey.
Joey Harrington.
I might have my Kevin Jones jersey still, too.
Oh, my God.
Lean years back in the Matthews household during the mid-2000s.
I almost bought a Reggie Bush jersey.
Don't do it. God. Thank God you didn't. I'm just going to show up with my Adam Morrison Charlotte Bobcats.
That's the worst jersey anybody has ever had, by the way.
You know what? I should just go throw on like one of my Tigers jerseys just to be completely out of place.
No, those you won't people be are the worst. Still Detroit.
Nobody wants to be that fan. Or if you wear like a Tom Brady jersey to the Thanksgiving, you just want to get clotheslined.
Yeah, speaking of that, like I hate seeing Tom Brady Michigan jerseys because it's not like he was ever amazing at Michigan or anything. It just frustrates me to see Tom Brady Michigan jerseys being sold.
Jeremy's this isn't a visual medium. He's doing single tear down his side of his face.
Okay, Ryan. Wait. So what was Reno was thankful for? What do you think for the podcast? Reno? You're thankful for the
I'm thankful for the same thing. I'm thankful for this family. This has been a nice
even
little
though
family.
You guys are complete assholes.
Yeah, well, that's what family does, what especially around the holiday times.
What's Reisman thankful for?
I'm thankful for Sean Yule for bringing us all together.
Bringing us all together and then bailing.
Thanks, Sean.
But that's the best thing Sean could have done. He brought us all together, then he bailed out, and we had to figure it all out in the fly, and we became this weird, dysfunctional family.
I want to hear from him a little more. I want to see him in the comment section a little more.
I want to hear how he thinks, because we're kind of tearing down his vision
with
all this terrible commentary.
Maybe that's why he stayed away, is because he's got nothing nice to say.
He probably saw what we were writing as like, oh man, I instantly regret this. I'm going to go work for Michigan.
You know what he saw? He knew that the Lions were going to start 1-6 or whatever it was. he foresaw this.
His visionary powers.
Yes. We should have him on here, though.
We should.
If it's possible.
I don't know if he can. Like, he's like got a real big boy writing job thing or something. For
look at you, Sean. Look at you,
Ryan. What are you thankful for?
You know, I'm thankful for John Cena.